is the Celebrity Afterlife Report podcast.
Hello, it is me. Yes, just last week I was debating whether I should say it is I or it is me. I'm going with it is me, me being the object of the, you know, the thing, the sentence there. It is me, the Celebrity Medium, anyway. Back with another edition of the Celebrity Afterlife Report, the only show on the internet that gives you the up-to-the-minute gossip about all your favorite deceased celebrities. I've got stuff. Lots of stuff. You've got ears. I've got lips. My lips are going to tell it to your ears. Alrighty, here's a name you may not be familiar with if you're a younger folk. Shelley Berman, big name comedian back in the late 50s, early 60s. He also played Larry David's father on Curb Your Enthusiasm. If you know him at all, it's probably from that. But this guy was a big deal back in the day. Just to give you some examples, he was the first comedian to ever win a Grammy. And he also had the first comedy album to sell over 500,000 copies. Kind of a big deal. So he just arrived in the afterlife, and he was invited to tour with other top comedians who are there now. And I mentioned this several weeks ago. Pretty much everybody you can think of who was a big name from the 20th century is on this tour. So he was invited to join this right away, and he said, I'll get back to you. Okay, so about 12 hours later, he got back to them. Now let's explain something. You know that when artists, you know, singers, bands, comedians, whatever, go out on a tour, they have contracts, of course. Well, in those contracts, there are typically things called riders. Those are very specific things that the artist wants backstage, or he wants the promoter to provide for their performances. Shelley Berman was considered a perfectionist when he was on the earthly plane, and apparently things have now changed. His rider had over 50 very specific things, down to the type of spotlight he wants, what the sound system has to be, the fact that he wants no set on the stage, and apparently the tour has a permanent set. So the question is, if they bring him on the tour, are they going to use the set, or are they going to take the set away when he's performing, or are they going to get him to agree to be okay with the set? Just a whole lot of things like that. So there's a question as to whether or not Shelley Berman will be joining the tour because, frankly, he's kind of a pain in the ass. It's not crazy stuff like no brown M&Ms, you know, it's not like Jennifer Lopez demanding that her dressing room, wherever she works, be painted a certain color. It's not that kind of thing, but it's very specific stuff that all the other comedians just, frankly, weren't that worried about. So we'll see. The Afterlife is a very big place, so there are a number of promoters involved, depending on the venue, including Bill Graham, who you probably know from the Fillmore East and the Fillmore West, down to a guy named Tom McCool, who was a longtime concert promoter in the Allentown, Pennsylvania area, and just a lot of people, depending on which hall you're working in. And they would all have to sign off on these rider demands. So whether or not Shelley Berman will be on the tour is up in the air at the moment. All right, the pro-Donald Trump rallies, organized by his father Fred Trump and Charles Lindbergh, the first man to fly solo across the Atlantic and well-known Nazi sympathizer, are getting kind of contentious. Why they're having rallies, I don't have the slightest idea. As I mentioned, nothing they do in the next world can affect anything on the earthly plane in any way, but apparently these guys just really want to make sure that people support President Trump. Well, Dr. Martin Luther King and his BFF Adolf Hitler, and if you've been listening to the show for some time, you know that Adolf Hitler has completely renounced his Nazi ways. Completely, he's just said it was all terrible, and he's just disgusted with himself about all the things he did. And he and Martin Luther King are buddies these days. The two of them are leading the anti-Trump forces outside the rallies. In other words, they're having counter-protests. And there have been some skirmishes. There's been some pushing and shoving and some nastiness. And even a fist fight or two. My sources tell me there's a lot of really ugly talk coming from the podium. You know, bordering on racist and just anti-Semitic. It's just nasty, and it's just... how stupid do you have to be to alienate people around you when you're in a place where you're going to be forever? You don't die, therefore you're there forever. And if you get people ticked at you, they'll probably be ticked at you forever. All right, Toby Hooper, the director of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Poltergeist, the movie I couldn't remember the name of last week, finally arrived in the afterlife. I said there was an unusual delay between his departure from the earthly plane and his arrival in the next world, and there was. Sometimes there's a delay. Sometimes people arrive, like, within 5 minutes. Sometimes it takes a day or two. In this case, it took more like 10 days, which is unusually long, but it doesn't really mean anything. Although there are some people who are interpreting it as meaning something, but it apparently just doesn't, according to all my sources. So he's finally there, and there was a big turnout when they were expecting him, and he didn't show up, and people were disappointed. So, and this is unusual, they've rescheduled this welcoming ceremony for later this week, with the hope, of course, that all the people who were there the first time will come back. So we'll see how that turns out. But he is finally there, so if you're a fan of Toby Hooper's, you don't have to worry, nothing bad happened, it just took him a while to arrive. Now, I shouldn't have to go over the whole nightmare scenario with the crazy movie that Salvador Dali and Jean-Michel Basquiat were making in iVironment, the indoor rain attraction that they took over from Steve Jobs, the former chairman of Apple, and how they kind of completely botched that deal. So they brought in director Stanley Kubrick. He took over the reins of the movie on the condition that he have 100% creative control over all aspects of the film's production. So basically, he kind of kicked Dali and Basquiat off the thing because they were just interfering with what he was doing, and actually kicked them out of iVironment, which is weird because they are the owners of it at this point. But he has creative control of the film and the area in which it's being produced. So he exercised that. And they, like little whiny babies, have been outside with crowds chanting and stuff trying to disrupt the filming. So Kubrick has had enough of that nonsense. So the story is, he has just taken their names off everything to do with the film, because it probably would have been, you know, Salvador Dali and Jean-Michel Basquiat present, you know, Stanley Kubrick's movie of whatever the name was going to be. They're not going to even have their name on this thing at this point. He's just disgusted with them. And we know a name for it finally. This is the name that Kubrick has given it. It's called Obsessive Behavior. It's going to be Stanley Kubrick's Obsessive Behavior, which is kind of funny because Kubrick was pretty much a control freak on the earthly plane. So that, you know, but the obsessive behavior part does not refer to Kubrick's behavior. It's just, you know, it's one of those auteur things. Now, the word I'm getting from my Next World sources is that it's several intertwining stories about people from different walks of life who are obsessive about something. And we know that Peter Sellers and George C. Scott, who, of course, both appeared in Dr. Strangelove, one of Kubrick's movies, are in it. There are other people as well, but apparently those names are being kept under wraps. And the only word I can get out of anybody about it is the movie is said to be wickedly satirical about what Kubrick's calling the human condition. Other than that, we don't know anything. It's just a bunch of different stories that intertwine, apparently, about people with various obsessive behaviors. That's the latest on that deal. And with that, it's time to wrap up this edition of the Celebrity Afterlife Report. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you come back next week when we'll have another roundup of the latest gossip about all your favorite deceased celebs. Tell everybody you know. You can find it on iTunes, the show, that is. You can find it in the Google Play Store. You can find it on YouTube. You can also find it on our Los Angeles radio affiliate, K-Chung Radio. AM 1630 in the City of Angels, where it runs Monday at lunchtime. And we thank them so much for doing that. We are really appreciative. It was very difficult to get an earthly radio station to carry it. That's why we're so happy you guys are doing that. I'm the Celebrity Medium. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Celebrity Afterlife Report podcast. To ask a question about your favorite deceased celebrity, call 818-3-MY-DREAM. 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 818-369-3732.